Wednesday, March 20th, 2024. You are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly, coming to you from Mile City here in Denver, Colorado, and we are back for another week of talking sports with a dose of common sense. Hey, happy Wednesday to you. Hope your week is going well. Hope everyone in your world is staying strong and staying healthy right now. And yes, kids, it is a magical time of the year because the NCAA tournament is finally here. And you know, we have a tournament this season that I think is without a doubt one of the most wide open and unpredictable maybe ever. Hey, we have a few teams that could win it all, no doubt. We also know that there are no unbeatable teams out here. Everyone can be beaten and have been beaten. You know, I am expecting a really fun tournament, and I can't wait for it to get fully started tomorrow. Here's a question that I have for you this week. Did the selection committee get things right? No, of course they didn't. They rarely do, to be fair. But this year, didn't it seem just a little bit worse than usual? I mean, giving North Carolina a one seed over Iowa State, it's a little bit odd. Virginia getting in at all, that's a little bit odd. Michigan State getting in at all, also a little bit odd. The Big East only got three teams in. That was odd. Now, they did put six Mountain West teams in, but they put two of them in play-in games, and they gave all of the Mountain West really, really poor seats. Again, odd. And you know, much like the College Football Playoff Selection Committee, what I struggle with every single year is their lack of consistency. So sometimes they look at a conference for one team and they say, well, that's what we value. And then you'll ask them about another team and you'll say, well, they didn't have a good conference. They'll say, no, we looked at, they're out of conference. Okay, well, why? What was the difference between the two teams? I have a feeling you're probably having some other things at play here. And you will never convince me that the committee does not look at the name on the card, because they always seem to favor the blue blood names over the non-blue blood names. And it happens so much, it can't be a coincidence. Plus, we always seem to have some really wacky matchups that, oh, magically, I don't know how, but this guy's going to coach against his former team. Oh, yeah, funny how that worked out, isn't it? It's all just a little too convenient for me. I think the committee does definitely look at storylines, and I definitely think they look at the name on the card. It just happens too often for it to be a coincidence. And, you know, it is funny to me because the committee will seed a conference like the Mountain West low, and then if they lose, everyone will point and say, see, they didn't deserve higher rankings. But forcing them to play as a lower seed against better competition doesn't prove anything. Putting, say, Virginia or Michigan State in, and then if they win saying, see, we got it right. No, you didn't, because we don't know what someone else would have done. Maybe they'd have won too. I just wish, for me personally, that the committee had more uniformity, had more of a standard, that we knew here's what they're judging and here's why they're judging it. It seems like they change it to fit their narrative. That is my biggest beef with the committee. I understand it's a difficult job. Just have a uniformity to it, and then it would make more sense. You know, one other interesting note that we are seeing this year is we are seeing teams like St. John's and Oklahoma or Pitt. A number of teams are doing this. They didn't make it to the tournament, so they've been invited to the NIT, and they're turning it down. Well, if the big tournament doesn't want us, then we aren't going anywhere. Now, I'm sure the little temper tantrum feels good at the time. And I would assume you probably had your players say they don't want to play in the NIT. I get it. And yet, you're losing valuable time. You're losing practice time. You're losing game experience. you're losing time with those kids. I'm not sure, again, that this is helping people in the long run, but it is just where we're at in athletics these days. Hey, as usual, we are hosting the Daily Dose Sports Podcast Bracket Challenge, so make sure that you go over and you sign up. It is open over there. You can join anytime. Just go to ESPN, go to the Bracket Challenge, and then join the group called Daily Dose Sports Podcast. It's very, very easy. Make your picks. It is free to enter, and I'm going to be sending the winner a Daily Dose t-shirt, so long as, you know, you actually listen to the podcast here and there. Otherwise, I might not send it to you at all. You can also go to DailyDoseSports.com and find the link there. Make sure you go get those brackets filled out and join our group. Bragging rights, as usual, are on the line. Hey, just very, very quickly, a couple of very easy tips for you if you are not a bracket person. And every year, I hear from people and they say, Clint, I don't know how to fill a bracket out. I am not a college basketball person. Doesn't matter. It makes no difference. First, let me give you some advice. Don't just look at records. Teams are seeded where they are for a reason. Number ones are usually better. Number 16s are usually worse. Be careful selecting a team based solely on their record, because they might not have faced the same competition. You racked up a lot of wins against bad teams, it doesn't mean much. Now, we do know upsets are going to happen. They happen every single year. I think that the bracket challenge at ESPN will actually auto-pick top seeds for you if you want, but understand, because of the amount of upsets there are, good luck with that option. It might not help, because this tournament is, like I said, wide open. Finally, and I cannot stress this enough, you know those experts on CBS that tell us how this tournament will go? They've been watching games every day, all day, for the last like 3 or 4 months. That's all they do. They are usually dead wrong. You know who crushes these brackets? The little old lady in human resources in your office. She hasn't watched her game all year. She's picking based on the color of the uniform or on who has the cutest mascot. She wins. So here is my ultimate advice that I give every year. Don't spend too much time making your picks. This is one tournament where knowledge, honestly, it doesn't seem like it is power. If you are studying stats, you are breaking down like KenPom rankings, I can't explain it, but it rarely works. So go fill out those brackets, do it in like 5 minutes, and let's all hope for a really, really fun March Madness tournament. Hey, before we jump in today, just want to remind you, make sure you are stopping by DailyDoseSports.com. We have new articles going up. We have links to the bracket challenge if you can't find it anywhere else. And we have links to the podcast and the YouTube videos. Plus, we do also have links to Daily Dose gear. You want to see the t-shirt that you could win? You can pick it in any color you want. You just got to listen so that you can tell me what color you want. But make sure you are going over to DailyDoseSports.com every week and checking in with what is going on over there. Hey, today on the show, we are going to be breaking down that March Madness bracket. We're going to be looking at the favorites. We're going to be looking at some teams that you might want to be cautious with, and we're going to look at a few Cinderellas that, if you're not careful, they might end up busting your bracket and leaving it in ashes. We do also have a Daily Dose Top 5 for you today, and it is March Madness flavored, and I'm telling you, it just might impact your picks a little bit. But first, I actually want to talk a little bit about NFL free agency. Because I'm telling you right now, the NFL offseason is officially drunk. I can't explain it. I don't know what teams are doing. Some of the things make no sense. Of course, the Pittsburgh Steelers signed former Broncos quarterback Russell Wilson in free agency. Then they shipped former 2022 first rounder Kenny Pickett to the Philadelphia Eagles. Okay, so I guess that means they're all in on Russell Wilson, right? Oh, but wait, they weren't done. Because then they went and made a trade with the Chicago Bears to get Justin Fields, who they say will be Wilson's backup, and they got him for just a conditional sixth rounder. Now, I don't know if this is going to work for Pittsburgh. I really don't. But I will say this. They're getting value. It's efficient. They're not spending much money, and it just might pay off for them. I don't know if it will. I don't know if Russ has anything left. I don't know if Justin Fields is anything more than a running back. But I'll say this, they're only paying like $4 million for both of them. So who cares? I do think they probably hate Kenny Pickett's guts. And this does also tell me that Chicago is now without a doubt going to select USC quarterback Caleb Williams with the first pick in this coming NFL draft. Hey, sorry, Caleb, but it looks like you're going to be destined to suck because the Bears and quarterbacks have never played well together. That has never been a good relationship. Good luck. The Las Vegas Raiders signed quarterback Gardner Minshew, so they released Jimmy Garoppolo. He is now going to be with the Los Angeles Rams, backing up 36-year-old Matthew Stafford. Chance Garoppolo could play there. And of course, the Rams did lose defensive tackle Aaron Donald, who retired. And you know, Aaron Donald is without a doubt a Hall of Famer. Donald was an absolute monster for 10 seasons. You couldn't single block him. It was impossible. He was without a doubt a key player in the Rams having the success that they did during his career. But I do want to right now take a look at some very early winners and losers from NFL free agency and keep this in mind. It can all change very, very quickly. But here is who I have as winners and losers in NFL free agency, at least right now. I want to give a winner, and I want to give it to a team that was already looking strong, like they might be on the verge of something big, except that they needed to upgrade their defense. Well, they are upgrading their defense in free agency, and I'm talking about the Detroit Lions. Hey, the Lions were a very, very explosive team this last year. The problem was they couldn't get stopped necessarily when they had to. Well, in free agency, they have beefed up their defensive line. They signed former Cincinnati Bengal defensive lineman DJ Reader. And then they also grabbed Marcus Davenport to give them a little bit more of a pass rush off the edge, which we know they struggled with. Cornerback Carlton Davis, he should help too. I really like what the Lions are doing. I give them a winner. But I'm going to give a loser. And I'm going to give it to the Dallas Cowboys, who, by the way, are in a very pivotal year for that franchise. They've got a number of contracts that are coming due, including head coach Mike McCarthy. Well, owner Jerry Jones said the Cowboys are all in this year. So far, they haven't really done anything. They renegotiated some contracts. They added a long snapper. Doesn't this feel like the Cowboys might be on the verge of blowing up this franchise? They are without a doubt a loser to me. And one thing I want to watch, does Jerry Jones really, truly care about winning? I didn't think that was a question. I thought he was a win at all costs kind of guy. Now I'm wondering, is he just like, eh, I like to just play. I like to play GM. It's fun. Sometimes I put on my helmet and I just go out and pretend. I think maybe that's who he is. I don't like what Dallas has done so far. I'm going to give a winner, and I'm going to give it to another team that is young and already getting better, and they might actually be my biggest winner of all so far, and that is the Houston Texans. The Texans surprised everyone this last year. They made the playoffs with rookie quarterback C.J. Stroud, and we knew going into the offseason, hey, they had some money. Well, they're spending some money, and so far, they're spending it pretty well. They went and got running back Joe Mixon. Okay, Mixon is talented. I think he probably is underachieved, but he could be an upgrade. Then they went and got defensive lineman Danielle Hunter, and they got Danico Autry. Hey, that is a significant upgrade to that defense. And you add those guys into a defense that already has a very talented young player in Will Anderson. I'm telling you, the Texans have improved their roster. It was already young and good. It looks like it's getting better. I really like what the Texans have done. I'm going to give a loser, and I'm going to give it, of course, to my hometown Denver Broncos, who just really don't have any money because they're eating that idiotic Russell Wilson contract. So they're basically having to start completely over. they currently don't really have a quarterback. And they don't really have the money to go get one. They're going to have to draft one. And they're going to have to draft one probably way too early, which is just what teams do now. Because in a perfect world, there will probably be one, maybe two quarterbacks selected in the first round. I fully expect to see five or six this year. But the Broncos don't have any money, so they don't have a choice. Now, this offseason can pay off for this franchise in the future, but honestly, there isn't much to feel good about right now. They are at ground zero. They are starting over, and now they have to start building. We'll see if they build intelligently, because they've been upside down with the way that team has been built. I'm going to give one final winner, and I'm going to give it sort of to the Atlanta Falcons. Because the Dirty Birds went and they got quarterback Kirk Cousins, then they got wide receiver Darnell Mooney and wide receiver Rondale Moore to add to an offense that already had tight end Kyle Pitts and running back Bijan Robinson. Even though they weren't being used, they do have those guys. Hey, the Falcons are spending money. And when I look at that division, the NFC South is very winnable. I'm looking at the Falcons going, they might be on the rise. They might be the favorite in that division right now. I kind of like what they've done. Now, do I ever have the ultimate faith in Kirk Cousins? Of course not. Especially if they play in primetime. But I like what Atlanta is doing right now. I'm going to finish off with one last loser. And I'm going to say this, and a lot of people are going to push back and say that's not true, but I'm going to award my final loser to the Cleveland Browns. And I'll tell you why. Because the Browns finally had some success last year. They made the playoffs with a very talented defense, and quarterback Joe Flacco made some huge plays for them, played some big games for them. Well, Flacco's gone. So this job is back to being Deshaun Watson's. Well, I don't know if we can trust that guy. I don't even know if we can keep that guy on the field. And neither are the Browns. They don't know whether they can trust him either. So they went out to find a dependable backup. And who did they get? Well, they got Jameis Winston. Look, I believe that Jameis is maybe the most unintentionally funny person on the planet. But I wouldn't trust him with my franchise. I mean, having Jameis Winston, it's kind of like eating at Taco Bell. Like, it sounds good, it looks good, but you're going to have a stomach ache later and you might end up with diarrhea. I'm just warning you ahead of time how the story ends. We've already seen it.
Ooh, stomach churning. Oh, bowels clenching. Not much time. Must finish.
Oh, and the Browns also made a trade for Broncos wide receiver Jerry Jeudy, who is a really talented receiver, except for the catching. I don't know. I don't like what the Browns have done. I'm sure there are people out there that love it. I'm not a fan. We'll see how free agency continues over these next few weeks. Hey, remember, the NFL draft, it is now just over a month away. It begins on April 25th. That is coming quickly. And also understand this. I'm not a believer that the winners of free agency are always winners. How many times have we seen bottom feeders have great free agent signings, but then they continue to suck? Good teams enhance in free agency, but they build in the draft. We're going to have to see how the NFL goes as we get closer to the draft. Okay, coming back. March Madness is finally here. Who are the teams to watch? Who are the teams you might want to avoid? Who are those Cinderellas that could bust some brackets? We're going to get to all that when we get back. So the 2024 NCAA tournament is here. And really, it is a tradition like no other. We have a single elimination tournament where the very top seed can go home on the first day. And we see underdogs make deep runs every single year. Hey, if you want proof as to how wide open this tournament is going to be this year, think of this. Six of the top 8 seeds in the tournament right now just got beat this past weekend in their conference tournaments. And some of them got blown out. So again, anything can happen in this tournament. One more little item I want you to keep in mind. No team has ever won the national championship if they lost their very first conference tournament game. Interesting. Because think of who lost their first tournament games this past week. Tennessee, Kentucky, Duke, Creighton. So that is not great news for those teams this year. Now, I do actually think there is a practical reason for that. And I think it is primarily that if you lost, say, last Wednesday or last Thursday, then you've just been sitting on a shelf for a full week, just not playing. You might start slow in your first game back, and you might get yourself in trouble when you do. So, hey, this is a wide open tournament, and I think it is going to be fun. We are going to go into the bracket. We are going to take a look at each region and let you know some teams to keep an eye on. Let's go ahead and jump into the bracket. And let's start off in the East region. And let's look at the favorites. Because the overall number one seed, of course, is the Connecticut Huskies. And if there is a true favorite in this tournament, it's Connecticut. They are the defending champions. And they have shown the most consistency throughout the season in the entire country. Head coach Dan Hurley has a team that can beat you inside. They can beat you outside. They can beat you with their offense. They can smother you with their defense. And the Huskies have a three-headed monster. They have three players that you have got to try to find a way to stop in Donovan Klingon, Tristan Newton, and Stephon Castle. Now, you may hear that and think, who cares? A lot of teams have three players. No, but when you have three bona fide scorers, it's tough to stop. You can stop one guy. You can take one guy away. You can take two people away. When you have that third, it can be a problem. Hey, UConn can become the first team since Florida back in 2007 to win back-to-back titles. They are plenty capable. And then I actually think the Auburn Tigers are a very dangerous team in the East region as well. Bruce Pearl, he's got a team that is very good defensively. They just won the SEC tournament. And I actually think the SEC might be a better basketball conference than people might think it is. There's a lot of depth there, and there is a ton of talent there. Auburn has guards that can shoot. Auburn has guards that can defend. They've got a lot of length. The Tigers won that SEC tournament with toughness, with physicality. They can score. I actually like Auburn a lot in the East region. Okay, I'm going to issue a word of caution on a couple of top seeds in the East, though. And first up, maybe I shouldn't do this, but I am very cautious about number two seed Iowa State. And I'll tell you why. The Cyclones won the Big 12 tournament. They smacked Houston in the championship game easily. But Iowa State is a team that has not been great on the road this year. And I always believe you have to be solid on the road. You got to be tough on the road. Because remember, in the Big Dance, you don't get to play at home. I am not saying Iowa State can't win. They should win. They should compete for the Final Four. I'm just saying I'd be very cautious. I am also a little bit worried about number three seed Illinois. Now, this is a team that has dealt with some big off-the-court stuff all year because Terrence Shannon Jr. was arrested and charged with rape, but he sued and got a restraining order on the charges until the season is over. Now, I don't know. That seems like a little bit of bad karma to me. And it's not just the karma stuff, because as wild as that is, it is the Illinois defense that concerns me here. They are not a lockdown team. And if they run into a team that can really score, Illinois can get sent home. Now, you might hear me and you might say, oh, Clint, you're just a hater. But remember that Illinois has lost to Maryland this year and they lost to Penn State this year. Those aren't great teams, but they are teams that could score. And they scored at will against Illinois. Again, I'm not saying they can't win. I'm saying be cautious. As far as Cinderella's in the East, I've got a few. I really like the Drake Bulldogs. I have seen them play. And, you know, I've seen a number of father-son duos work well in this tournament. And we've got one here. You've got head coach Darian DeVries and his son Tucker, who is averaging 22 points a game. Now, Drake isn't a big blue blood program. They're not great defensively, but they are very good offensively. And their offense kind of hides their defense. And that father-son relationship, I don't know. It just seems like they're playing and coaching with a little more on the line with that family relationship on the line. I think Drake is going to be very, very interesting to watch. I also really like BYU. Brigham Young is a 6 seed, so it wouldn't be a huge upset. They're not like this giant underdog, but BYU spaces the floor very well. They can shoot the lights out from long range. They make you chase them around. BYU could be a big matchup problem for a number of teams in that East region. I like the Cougars a lot. Finally, I have to mention Florida Atlantic. Remember, they went to the Final Four last year as a 9 seed. And then they returned everyone this year. So how are they doing this year? Well, yes, again, they're a 9 seed. And honestly, I don't even know if they should have gotten in because they were so good defensively last year. And that has not been the case for them this year. But I will say this, they have experience. They have been here before. Maybe they start to figure things out. Maybe they start to play better defensively. I don't know. Florida Atlantic should be a Cinderella. Do I trust them? Probably not that much. Let's move over to the South region that I think is going to be a very competitive bracket. Houston is the number 1 seed, and they are definitely a contender. They are one of the best defensive teams in the entire country, and head coach Kelvin Sampson, he knows how to win games in the tournament. Houston is without a doubt a big dog. They should be a contender. I also like number 3 Kentucky in the South. Now, Kentucky is young, as usual. They're very talented, as usual. And if they pulled it all together, honestly, Kentucky could win the whole thing. I mean, get ready for a bunch of Kentucky players to be drafted this spring into the NBA because this team has talent galore. They are so good offensively. Here's the problem for Kentucky. They are so bad defensively, and they don't always really play that hard. Kentucky is like an AAU team. You score and they're like, oh, who cares? We'll score too. Well, that's great until you miss a few shots and then you're going home. Plus, do I trust head coach John Calipari? Of course not. But I will say this, Kentucky might be good enough offensively to overcome their bad defense and to overcome Calipari. I will also throw Duke in here because Duke is another team that is insanely talented. Kyle Filipowski seems to be the next really talented jerk to play for the Blue Devils. But Duke is a very efficient team. They could be a problem, especially if they get fully healthy. Those are my 3 contenders that should be the big dogs. Now I'm going to throw out a team to be cautious of in the South. And I'm going to start with a team I really like. But be cautious. I really like Marquette. Head coach Shaka Smart is really good. This is a really talented team. My problem with the Golden Eagles is that, one, they're very undersized. Okay, you can overcome that. And two, they might not be fully healthy. Shooter Tyler Kolek is a little banged up. He's got an abdominal strain, and that worries me because that is slow to heal. I've had that before, believe it or not. At one time, yes, I used to have abdominals. If he comes back healthy, I think Marquette should be a contender. I'm just saying, be cautious. I'm also warning you to be very cautious with number 5 Wisconsin. Yes, they just played really well in the Big Ten tournament. But remember, the Badgers had a 3-8 record in their last 11 games of the regular season. I don't trust Wisconsin. I don't know if I trust the Big Ten a whole lot this year. Maybe they'll prove me wrong, but I would be very, very cautious with the Wisconsin Badgers. Okay, let's move on to the Cinderellas in the South, and I will start with a team that might be Cinderella-ish. Oh, and also they might be one and done, because I have no idea what to make of number 11 North Carolina State. The Wolfpack were 4-10 down the final stretch of the regular season. And then they somehow caught fire and they won the ACC tournament. Big man DJ Burns Jr., he is a wide body and he can be a problem. And yet, did North Carolina State use up every ounce of their luck or their karma or just their energy in that tournament? I have no idea. They might be gone in the first round, or they could be a pain. I worry if NC State can play at the same level that they were just playing at. They're going to get a lot of pats on the back this week. I worry if they can do that. But if they do, look out, because they are talented. No doubt about it. And in the South, I really do like the James Madison Dukes. I got to see them a little bit in their Sun Belt tournament. And I know they play in that little Sun Belt conference. I get it. But you also have to realize that the Dukes beat Michigan State this year. Now, are they going to have to jump up their level of play here? Of course, because they come from a small conference. But this is a veteran group of older players. Hey, they're not going to be afraid. I'll guarantee you, they will not be afraid. James Madison is coming to the tournament to win games. I like them as a Cinderella. Okay, let's start off with the favorites in the Midwest. And of course, I have to start with number one, Purdue. And yet, I don't feel great about it. Because of course, the Boilermakers have big man, 7'5" Zach Edey. And he is dominant. Not only is he dominant, but officials give him a lot of calls. Now, I know Purdue was just the second number one seed in history to lose to a 16 seed last year. But remember, the last team to do that won the title the following year when Virginia did it. Now, my biggest worry for Purdue, of course, is their guards. But Purdue should be the favorite in this region. And I also think they have the softest bracket to get to the Final Four. Next up, I really like the Tennessee Volunteers. I know they lost in their conference tournament in the first round, but they're a very tough team. They don't mind getting physical, and they can score a lot of points in a hurry. Here's my concern. I am always nervous for head coach Rick Barnes in the tournament because he is never very good. But the Vols are good. They're very talented. I like Tennessee. And you know, I will throw the Creighton Blue Jays in here too. I know, again, they also lost in the opening round of their Big East tournament, but Creighton is a team that is very balanced. They are very talented. They just beat Connecticut a few weeks ago, and they beat them badly. Hey, Creighton can play. Don't underestimate Creighton. They could make some noise here as well. But I'm going to warn you to be cautious of a few teams in this bracket, and I'm going to warn you to be a little bit cautious of the Kansas Jayhawks. Of course, head coach Bill Self can win games in the tournament. We all know that. My problem for the Jayhawks is the fact that they aren't fully healthy. Kevin McCullough Jr. has a knee injury, and since he left, Kansas isn't the same. Now, they are saying he may come back, but I don't even know if that's true or if they're just saying it. That makes me want to be very, very cautious with the University of Kansas. I also can't believe I'm saying this, but be a little bit cautious with Gonzaga. They are not the same team that they have been the past few seasons. And to be perfectly honest, I actually think they got a better seed than they deserved because of their name, which is crazy. Because we used to say, well, they're a mid-major, who cares? I don't fully trust Gonzaga this year. I don't know that they are that great this year. They might not be a team you want to hit your wagon to. Now, if I was going to name Cinderellas in the Midwest, I would actually start with the number 8 Utah State Aggies. You know, it is amazing when you realize Utah State didn't return a single point scorer from last year's team. But head coach Danny Sprinkle has built a very solid team, and he's done it very quickly. Now, it isn't an accident, because he actually pulled some really talented kids from Montana State, where he was coaching before this. So Utah State, they are an experienced team. They are a veteran team. Again, they're going to come in and they're going to get after it. They're not going to be afraid. I'm going to name one more Cinderella in this region, and I'm going to give that to number 12, McNeese State. Hey, remember former LSU head coach Will Wade? And remember, he was down at LSU. He got caught just blatantly cheating, but he was winning games. So LSU tried to keep him for as long as they could. They finally had to let him go. Well, Will Wade is now at McNeese State. And they jumped from going 11-23 last year to 30-3 this year. Hey, Will Wade can coach. McNeese could cause problems for teams. And I already know what you're saying. Yes, they're probably going to have to vacate any wins that they do get later, but they still might get them this year. Watch out for McNeese State. Let's finish up our March Madness preview today in the West, where the North Carolina Tar Heels are the number one seed, and they have to be a favorite, not only to win the West, but again, to make a run at a title. Hey, if UNC shoots it well, they can beat pretty much anyone, because they are one of the best defensive teams in the country. So you're going to struggle to score. If they're knocking their shots down, you're going to be in for a long night. North Carolina is very talented, and yes, they can win it all. I do also like the number three Baylor Bears out West. Hey, Baylor is a top five three-point shooting team in the country. That's pretty impressive. Baylor is long. They are talented, and they are very dangerous. My concern for Baylor is, will they really buy in and play hard at the defensive game? We know they can shoot. We know they can light up the scoreboard. If they'll play defense, Baylor could be very dangerous. Hey, head coach Scott Drew, he is a national championship coach. He could get Baylor to go very, very deep in this tournament. Okay, let's move over to teams to be cautious of. And who else could I place here but number two, Arizona? Hey, I realize Arizona is talented. They can play with anyone. They have beaten Duke. They have beaten Alabama. But it's Arizona. Look, at the end of the college season every year, we hand out an award for the team that underachieves the most. It is called the Arizona Award. It's not an accident. We named it for Arizona. Because Arizona always disappoints in the tournament. Oh, except for 1 year in 97, and that was it. Choose Arizona at your own risk. I would also warn you to be very cautious of the Alabama Crimson Tide. Hey, if you haven't seen Alabama play, I'll be honest, you're in for a treat. They play at a frenetic pace. They push the ball. They are 100 miles an hour every single possession. It's actually really fun basketball to watch. And it will also be very difficult for them to maintain that for six games. If you have Alabama playing deep into the tournament, I have my doubts, because I don't see how they can do it just because of the style they play. They are not overly talented to play that way. I don't buy their style. I don't think it works. Let's finish up with the Cinderellas in the West. And I think the number 11 New Mexico Lobos are a team that were completely underrated by the selection committee. Head coach Richard Pitino has a kid by the name of Jamal Mashburn Jr., and they led the Lobos to the Mountain West Conference title. Yes, Richard Pitino is Rick's son. Jamal Jr. is Jamal's son. Hey, those are sons of two people that have had a lot of success in this tournament. The problem for New Mexico has been they've had some health issues. And I mean literally like sickness, like flu issues. And they had it down the stretch. I think New Mexico could be dangerous. They are getting back to full health now. Look out for the Lobos. I think they could be good. And I do also like the number 12 Grand Canyon Lopes. They have a head coach in Bryce Drew that knows a little bit about winning games in March as a Cinderella team. Remember, he did it at Valparaiso back in 98. Now, Grand Canyon isn't a big name, but they have big talent. And we know how dangerous those 12 seeds can be. I'm telling you, Grand Canyon can play with anyone in the country. They could end up busting some brackets. Hey, every year, honestly, I can't wait for March Madness. You know, we've had boring Super Bowls. We've had bad World Series matchups. We've had boring NBA Finals or Stanley Cup playoff series or whatever. But the NCAA tournament lives up to the hype every single year. It just does. It's always good. And I actually think this year is going to be insanely unpredictable and really, really fun. Okay, coming back, we need to get over to our Daily Dose Top 5. Now, we know there are teams in March Madness that just seem to get it done. They just find ways to survive and advance. Well, today, we're going to be talking about some of those teams, and yet, we're also going to be talking about how they have still managed to disappoint. I'll show you what I mean when we get back. Now, as we do so many weeks here at the Daily Dose, we need to get over to our Daily Dose Top 5. Of course, the NCAA tournament begins this week, and everyone's hopes, whether you're a favorite, whether you're an underdog, whatever, everyone's hopes are sky high right now. We're all feeling good, and we're all feeling like our brackets just might be perfect. Our favorite team is probably going to make a run all the way to the championship, and our bracket is probably going to win us $1 million, right? And yet, we know in the back of our minds, things probably won't go that way. Just because you make your picks doesn't mean they'll be right. And just because you make the tournament doesn't mean you're going to win the title. But do you realize there are teams that make the tournament year in, year out, and they don't do much when they get there? But that's not who we're talking about today. No, today we are talking about a different type of team. We are talking about teams that go to the tournament, and they actually win games. They just can't quite finish the job and actually win the title. Today, our Daily Dose Top 5 is counting down the top 5 teams with the most tournament wins, but they've never won the big one. And I'll tell you right now, I'm actually making an exception today because instead of a top 5, it's kind of a top 6. And instead of a top 6, it's also kind of a top 3. Because what is crazy is that we've actually had 6 teams tied for 3 spots on our list today. I know it's kind of confusing, but here's where we are. So let's go ahead and jump in. And we start off at number 6, I guess, sort of. 5. And also tied for 3rd. 3. Whatever. We go to a team that has 40 wins in the NCAA tournament. They have been to the NCAA tournament 27 times. Hey, they're no stranger to getting there. And in fact, they've won. They've been to the Sweet 16 17 times. They've been to the Elite 8 7 times. They have even been to the Final 4 once. That was back in 1978. And when you look back, this team was really good. Coached by Digger Phelps, this squad had Bill Laimbeer, Kelly Trepiuka, Bill Hanslick, and Orlando Woolridge. Hey, that's an NBA All-Star team. So how in the world did the Notre Dame Fighting Irish fail to win the title in 78? Well, they ran into a Duke squad that was led by Gene Banks and big man Mike Jaminski, and both Laimbeer and Hanslick fouled out. Duke would escape with a 90-86 win and advance to the championship game, but they would get beat by the Kentucky Wildcats. Well, that was the furthest Notre Dame has ever been. But they have been in the field a number of times. And many times when they have been knocked off, they've actually been the favorite. Notre Dame comes in on our list today, tied at 5th or 6th or 3rd, whatever. They have 40 tournament wins, but they've never won the title. And they actually did not make the field this year. Notre Dame comes in as the first team on our list. Also, tied with them at 40 wins is a team that might not be one of the first teams that comes to mind when you think of March Madness success. But this team has also been to the tournament. They've been there a lot. This team has been invited to the NCAA tournament 32 times. They have been to the Final Four 4 times. They even made it to the championship game once. It was clear back in 1951. Head coach Jack Gardner led the Kansas State Wildcats all the way to the championship game. But the Wildcats were beaten by, yes, you guessed it again, the Kentucky Wildcats. But hey, Kansas State has a pretty solid basketball history. Think about it. Lon Kruger played there. Of course, he also went on to be a very successful coach. So did Mitch Richmond, Rolando Blackman, Michael Beasley. But the Wildcats have never won at all, and their 40 wins in the NCAA tournament have them today on our list as tied for fifth or third, whatever. Kansas State is not in the tournament this year, but they have been there a lot, and they have actually won a lot. They come in today at fifth or third or whatever. Okay, let's move up to the list to fourth or second, because again, we have another tie. We reach another team that has been in the tournament a lot. They have had great players. They have had great coaches. They have had great teams, but they have never won the NCAA tournament title. This program has been to the tournament 33 times. They have made it to five different Final Fours. And yes, they have made it to the championship game one time, and it wasn't really that far back. It was back in 2005 that the Illinois Fighting Illini, behind head coach Bruce Weber, looked like they might win it all. Illinois went 37-1 that year with D. Brown and Darren Williams and Luther Head and James Augustine. They rolled through the tournament pretty easily. They had one overtime game against Arizona. Other than that, they were blowing everybody out. However, in the finals, Illinois would face a very talented North Carolina team that you might remember had Raymond Felton and Sean May, and Illinois would lose a heartbreaker 75-70. But think of some of those great Illinois players. Johnny Kerr, Derek Harper, Ken Norman, Nick Anderson, Kenny Battle, Kendall Gill. They all starred in Champaign. And Illinois has had great coaches. Lon Kruger, Lou Henson, Bruce Weber, Harry Combs, and yes, Bill Self was also at Illinois. Illinois has won 42 games in the tournament. They have never won a title. Illinois is a number three seed this year. Can they make a run? I'm a little bit nervous about that team. Tied with Illinois, also with 42 wins, is another program that has a really impressive history, but they have never ended the season by cutting down the nets after the championship game. And this program actually was the leader here in this category until very recently. They have been to the tournament 33 times. They have made it to the Final Four five times, as recently as just back in 2016. And yes, they have actually also been to the title game twice. The first time was clear back in 1947. And back in 47, they lost to Holy Cross. But then they also went in 1988. And in that season, the Oklahoma Sooners were 35-3. They were averaging 103 points a game. Of course, head coach Billy Tubbs loved that fast pace, and they were loaded. Think about the roster they had. Ricky Grace, Mookie Blaylock, Harvey Grant, Stacey King. It looked like Oklahoma was going to win their championship. They were favored by 8 against their Big 8 rival, the Kansas Jayhawks. However, Danny Manning would not be denied. He willed Kansas to that title. But again, Oklahoma has a really rich history with some really great players. They've won a lot of games. Think about it. Wayman Tisdale, Blake Griffin, Buddy Hield, Eduardo Nájera. The Sooners have had some big-time talent. And you can see from their 42 wins in the NCAA tournament, they have won a lot of games. Unfortunately, they've never won the big one. That is what this list is all about today. Now, Oklahoma is not in the tournament. They did not make it this year. They are actually one of those teams that said they would turn down the bid to the NIT. So Oklahoma is pretty much done for the year. So we reach the top two teams on our list today of college programs that have won the most games but never actually won a title. And this one that's coming in first on our list is actually brand new to the list. Because here's the crazy thing to think about. This program didn't start winning until pretty recently, like back in the 90s. Now, I realize in the great scheme, that's what, 30 years ago. And yet, some of these schools are going back to the 20s and 30s. That's not the case here. But this team has won a lot in a very short amount of time. Do you realize they went to the tournament for the very first time in their history back in 1995? And in that short window, they've already been invited to the NCAA tournament 25 times. It's pretty impressive in only about, what, 30 years. They have made it to the Final Four twice. And here's what's crazy to think about. They've never lost a Final Four game. They have never won that next hugely important game because when they get to the championship game, they have now lost twice. But you know, what head coach Mark Few has done in Spokane, Washington with Gonzaga basketball is absolutely insane. I mean, is Gonzaga even a mid-major anymore? They don't feel like it. They feel like an absolute big dog in a big conference, even though we know that they're not. But I mean, think about Gonzaga this year. They probably got a better seed than they deserved. Why? Because they now have a little bit of a blue blood name. And it's no wonder. Look at the talent that Gonzaga has had in their history. Of course, they had John Stockton back in the day. They had Jeff Brown, Dan Dickow, Blake Stepp, Rui Hachimura, Kelly Olynyk, Josh Perkins, Matt Bolden, Casey Calvary, Ronnie Turiaf, Adam Morrison, Drew Timmy, Jalen Suggs, Chet Holmgren. The Gonzaga Bulldogs have won 44 games in the NCAA tournament. Really impressive. They have won big games in the NCAA tournament. But Gonzaga has never won the ultimate game in the NCAA tournament. Gonzaga has 44 wins. That is the highest number in the country. But they are tied with one other team. Remember, Gonzaga this year is a 5 seed. Can they make a run at a title this year? I think that's going to be very, very tough. We shall see. So we reach the top team on our list. Well, they're tied with Gonzaga. And this team has been going to the tournament for much, much longer than Gonzaga has. This program holds the record for most Big Ten regular season championships. They have 26. And they are the first Big Ten program to be ranked as the number one team in America for 3 straight consecutive seasons. They also hold a winning record against all other Big Ten schools in head-to-head matchups. They have sent more than 30 players to the NBA. They have had 2 overall number one picks in the NBA draft. They have been to the NCAA tournament 34 times. They have made it to 2 Final Fours. They have made it to the NCAA championship game exactly one time. That was back in 1969. And they lost to former alumnus John Wooden and UCLA. Of course, UCLA was in the middle of their run. They had Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. UCLA was loaded. But again, this program has had some exceptional talent. Because the Purdue Boilermakers have had, yes, John Wooden did play there. He's pretty good. They've also had Rick Mountain, Glenn Robinson, Joe Barry Carroll, Robbie Hummel, Caleb Swanigan, Carson Edwards, Jaden Ivey, Quanzo Martin, and yes, currently, Purdue has big man Zach Edey. Well, the Purdue Boilermakers are now tied with Gonzaga for most wins in this tournament without actually ever winning the tournament. Hey, Purdue is the number one seed. I actually believe they are playing this year in the softest region. I think Purdue could possibly make a run at that. And yet, when you think about it, when you think about what they went through last year, being just the second number one to lose to a 16, when you think of how tough that had to be, when you think of how they've had to battle this year, could this year be the year that Purdue actually gets that burden of national title off their back, it isn't going to be easy. It will be very, very challenging. I love Zach Edey. Like the way he carries himself. I think he's a very, very good player. I worry about those guards. I worry, can you get him the ball when you need to? And that is going to be the concern. But hey, Purdue has a chance to break this record that they currently have. They right now are tied with Gonzaga, 44 wins, but they have never won that all-elusive national championship. We will keep an eye on them and see if they can do it this year. Hey, next week on The Dose, we will be breaking down what has happened so far in March Madness, and we'll do our best to let you know what to look for in the upcoming rounds. Plus, you know, we're going to keep you up on all that is going on in the world of sports as only we can. So be sure you tune into The Dose, and be sure you let a friend know to do the same. Hey, I want to say thank you to each and every one of you for listening to The Daily Dose every week. Thank you for the emails. Thank you for the texts. Thank you for the tweets. Thank you for going over to DailyDoseSports.com and checking out the new things going up there every week. Thank you for going over and joining our March Madness Bracket Challenge. Appreciate you doing that. But more than anything, thank you for sharing the show. Thank you for sharing the videos. Thank you for sharing the articles and sharing the Bracket Challenge with someone that you know. We absolutely love it when you do that. Have to say thank you to JSP. Could not do any of this without you. I will see you all next Wednesday. Have a great week, everybody, and enjoy the NCAA tournament.
Ooh, stomach churning, bowels clenching, not much time, must finish.